Raf, we got Bruce Jenkins. All right, 808-KMBR is our number after we talk to Bruce. But now it's time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice, their new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, thank you for being with us today. How are you?
Oh, sure. Very well. Thanks, Marty.
Now, what do you say when Michael Morse hits a home run? Do you have a little saying or anything?
I used to go, oh! I mean, it's funny because, you know, last night you could tell he didn't get very much of it, but the guy's so strong, you still feel like it's got a shot to go out, especially on the road. And, I mean, what a relief for these guys to have a real legitimate power hitter like that, especially a guy who goes to right field, because that's the art of a guy who's not just a, you know, a big lunk of a slugger who looking for a dead pull shot. You know, he's got some real hitting technique, and it doesn't take much for him to get it out of the park.
No, and he's becoming a fan favorite now. And I asked the question earlier, you know, let's forget about Barry Bonds for a minute, but let's think of other sluggers who kind of look like this guy. And some good comparison. I mean, Andres Galarraga came up. Matt Williams came up. And those seem to be the two most prominent. And I guess Galarraga, very similar. But Galarraga was more of a pull hitter, wasn't he?
Yeah. He reminds me of Jack Clark sometimes.
Jack Clark, okay.
I think he goes to right field a little bit more, although Clark could hit to all fields. But Clark, you know, he had that wicked swing and just jacked the ball. Unbelievable power. Yeah, Galarraga's a good comparison, just the raw, you know, tape measure kind of power. But, you know, the Giants, their whole history is built on power hitting. They had an almost uninterrupted string from the early days of Mays, McCovey, and Cepeda through Bonds. There were a couple years where they didn't hit a lot of homers, but, you know, they always had guys who could go deep. That's just the way that the Giants were built.
Well, Horace Stoneham loved it.
Yeah, going back to the New York day, you know, Mel Ott if you want to go farther back than that. But yeah. And they had a pretty good dry spell there, and it was a drag for fans who'd followed the Giants for years. But they're kind of coming back now. I mean, with Pence has astounding power as well, and they can put on some pretty good shows, especially on the road.
You know, it's funny as we say that, and you know, I'm thinking of Horace Stoneham. And, of course, in 1947, the Giants had 221 home runs and broke a major league record. Johnny
Even
Mize.
Bill Rigney hit 17
that year. Yeah, really. Bill Rigney, Johnny Mize, Willie Marshall, Bobby Thompson, you know, those kind of people. So it made me think of this. The owner liked home runs, and he would go out and get people, Sid Gordon, and he'd get people who could hit home runs in New York in the Polo Grounds. We have seen this game evolve to the point where the ownership of the Houston Astros loves stats and numbers. Seriously, where they brought in a general manager whole front office of people, like from Baseball Prospectus, to say, we're going to try to put together a winning team. We're going to play baseball based on numbers. And in the old days, you know, if it's Tom Yawkey or Stoneham, you know, they got the kind of players they like to see.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you watch Michael Morse for a week, you know, ideally he's gonna do all the things that he does. You don't need to look at the numbers to say this would be a great guy to have for us. The fans like him. He's a great guy. He's funny. He gets along with other guys. He has tremendous power. You don't go anywhere when he's hitting. These are the things that matter more than a bunch of numbers. I've always felt like that. And I did a big story in spring training about how the Astros have their broadcasters obsessed with stats, and talked to, you know, John Miller and Korak, and everybody didn't agree with that at all, but. That's such a good point. And, you know, the Giants have a lot of guys like that. Sandoval, when he's rolling, for definitely, you know, Hunter Pence, Pagan. I mean, they got some guys who'll put on a show, and that definitely does matter.
Well, but ownership, as you just said it beautifully, ownership used to like that. Yeah. If you're the Yankee owners and you play in Yankee Stadium, you got as many left-handed power hitters as you could find. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you saw Roger Maris, you said, you're next.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Johnny Blanchard could become a hero in New York because he'd pull a couple balls over the wall. But I think Larry Bear and Brian Sabian definitely value that. I think they realize it's one of the reasons the park keeps getting sold out is because they're a fun team to watch. Even when they, you know, weren't scoring a lot of runs, they were fun because they were winning.
Yeah.
But now that I think they've got a lot more pop in the lineup, which really helps matter because the rotation's taken a little bit of a dive. Nothing terribly alarming, I wouldn't say. But It's terrific, and it makes for a good show.
Yeah, it's taken its time getting into sync, so to speak. I mean, Petit stood up there the other night, for Kane, and I said, why can't we have this guy every fifth day?
Yeah.
I mean, but at some point, Kane has got to do his job Monday, and Bumgarner's out there tomorrow against Woods, who's a tremendous lefty for the Braves. And tonight you get Vogelsong against Tehran. It's a good matchup. And then it's on to Pittsburgh. But at some point, the starting pitching has to say, okay, here's six innings, which we can, like Lindskum last night, there's six. Here's the bullpen. You guys take it from here, because that bullpen can do it.
Yeah, the bullpen is very, very deep. I think even deeper than a lot of people expected. The way Casilla and Machi are pitching, and, of course, Lopez and Affeld, and it's just a great procession of guys who can get people out. Just right now as we speak, I think it's a pretty good uplift for the rotation. Vogelsong, he pitched the seven scoreless innings against a Cleveland team loaded up with some pretty good left-handed hitters, and really didn't. There's no reason really for him to come out in terms of the way he was pitching. He was totally cruising. Great outing. And Lindskum, I thought, was very impressive last night. Again, some really tough left-handed hitters. Freeman got him, but the changeup was great. The two-seam fastball that runs away from the left-handers was very effective. And I think they have to be encouraged by both of those guys right now.
Yeah, four of his six innings, he got the third out with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And in days past, I mean, that would be a hit, and he'd be gone. So I thought it was good. And I'll tell you again, if the formula is for two or three of them, here's six, and the rest of you guys take it from here, that's absolutely fine for me. But you've got to have Hudson, Bumgarner, and Kane be able to go seven, or else the bullpen gets eaten up.
Yeah, what I like about it is that the bullpen is deep and it's balanced. I mean, you got Lopez and Affeld to deal with left-hand hitters if you're going right, left, right, and making a bunch of changes. And they've got all of those guys are a little bit different. Then you finally come down to Romo, throws the classic fastball down the middle to Upton. It's just like Miguel Cabrera in the World Series. It's the last thing he expected, and his ball game's over.
Yeah, that was a good one last night.
Yeah.
All right, now they're in Atlanta. And first of all, why do they need a new stadium in Atlanta? What's wrong with this place?
Sake. Good God. How do I feel in Oakland?
I was going to say, move Oakland into there.
Well, A's fans are watching this game, and, here's Atlanta, like, shuffling ballparks like cars. We'll get another one. What the heck, Or like, you get a brand-new car, you drive it for 20,000 miles, and you get rid of it, just unbelievable. That's just really lame. I don't get it. And all the, the national writers that I read, they can't seem to come up with a really great reason either. It's not a terrific sports town. Moving to the suburbs is not going to change the nature of those fans.
No.
Especially if they keep playing that stupid tomahawk chop, which is just appalling that they still pump that it through the stadium.
That was my next question. My next question. How do you like the tomahawk chop?
Well, it's been a travesty from the beginning. I mean, it started at Florida State in the Deion Sanders
right.
years, and there was a little bit of element of coolness there. It's a football game. Everybody's chanting. It's like, whoa, that's kind of powerful and everything. But it died a horrible death early on, and everyone realized it except the Atlanta Braves. And to see these people in the stands waving their arms back and forth is really kind of frightening.
It is. I mean, that was my next question to you. What do you think of that? I agree. And on the radio, you hear it on the radio, and you just hear it in the background,
Yeah,
there,
good Lord.
There it goes. Hey, the West is sort of turning into an interesting race because Colorado has the best record in baseball in the last 3 weeks. And, they must be in 340 at home, and they're getting Chacin back, and Ryu goes on the DL. Kershaw's coming back on Tuesday and probably pitch against the Giants on Sunday. The Giants are hitting home runs like the 47 Giants. This is who knows where this thing's going, but it's becoming interesting.
You know who my favorite player in the division is right now?
No. Arenado.
Arenado. How did you know that?
Well,
Arenado.
He's terrific.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This guy is a fabulous fielder and really always has been. But, he came up, he was always pretty highly touted, so you knew he could hit. And I tell you, that guy, we put him in there with Tulowitzki and Blackman and Carlos Gonzalez. They're really, the way Arenado's playing, that's the best left side of the infield in baseball right now. It very well could be. They just have to be a threat. And, that's another tough injury for the Dodgers with Ryu going down. They can only withstand so many of those. And I know Kershaw really, really wants to get back in there But there's always a chance that he could come back too soon. So absolutely, I mean it's spreading out. I mean Arizona, I don't know. I'm not sure they can take care of what's going on down there. But
yeah.
I think fans would be delighted with Dodgers, Colorado, and Giants to the finish.
Yeah, I think it's there. By the way, you know the things you like to see. Colorado is second in the league in defense.
Yeah,
they've only made 15 errors in 31 games. So. Pretty good for them. Giants, you know, are sort of right there. The Giants defensively are playing good ball. Bruce, I think the Giants are playing decent baseball.
Well, they really are. I mean, it's, you know, Kruko was talking last night. There's so much hype around Andrelton Simmons, and rightly so, by the way. He's probably the best all-around shortstop in the league, and he's just improving, and he's a guy who studies the game and plays a fantastic shortstop. But meanwhile, here comes Crawford in there in town and makes, you know, two really good plays when they really needed him. And, you know, just to remind people that we can play this game a little bit too. Sandoval made a very tough play, an old-style play where you just take it off your chest
right.
And see what happens. You know?
Yeah.
And, they, you know, Pence and Pagan, Morris, I don't think, is going to be dropping any more balls like he did, you know, early on. He's obviously not a great defender, but I don't think he's going to kill you out there. I agree. And Hicks, I had some real concerns about him early on. I think everyone did. But he can definitely turn the double play. And I think as he gets a little more comfortable and doesn't feel like he's got to, you know, prove himself every single play, he's gotten a little better defensively. We know he can hit a little bit, so... and you game with Belt, Posey. It's a good defensive team. It really is.
Yeah, Bobby Evans said that with Hicks, they tried to just slow the game down for him.
Yeah.
Because he has such a great arm. Just get the ball and relax.
Mm-hmm.
And because the plays you're talking about were up the middle, and they just sort of popped out of his glove. You know,
yeah, they were plays that any second baseman should make. It showed a guy who was kind of nervous, you know. But if you get over that, and it seems like he's doing it. He can make this spectacular play, and he's very tough hanging in on the double play, which is a great thing.
How do you like B.J. Upton? How does this guy ever get a hit?
I was stunned when he got that hit off Romo.
I mean, really?
I said, here comes a slider. See you later. I told my wife, he's going to strike out right now. He is. You just can't bank it. Put it in the bank. And it wasn't the best slider he's ever thrown, but it was pretty good, and he managed to poke a single. But here's a guy who's one of the best athletes in the game, just by far. I mean, you know, great physique. Not an ounce of fat on him. He's fluid. He can play a good center field. He's got a history of sporadic, you know, amazing power displays. And yet, most of the time, he just looks completely hopeless up there. He's a real strange case.
Yeah, I tell you this. First, he's wearing glasses. I don't think there's any lens in them. I think they're, you know, they're fake glasses, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But here's a guy that the big contract and everything, and he's part of this whole Braves thing. They strike out a lot. They hit a lot of home runs. But, Bruce, I'll tell you, if you keep the ball away from the middle of the plate with these guys, you can beat them. And I just think that's the key for Vogelsong tonight.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about Lincecum last night, for the most part, especially the left-hand hitters. A changeup, that's an automatic. But he was running fastballs low and away that were very hard to drive. And, you know, with the right-handers, he's got the big edge with the breaking stuff anyway. So, absolutely. That's just part of the essence of the game. I tell you, the Braves... You know, with Tehran and Wood, I mean, they had so many injuries, and yet they still pitch well. They're still going to be there.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and you guys stay away from Kimbrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, good. Hey, great stuff as always. Are you excited about tonight? I'm off the air once, you know, we do our things after the game tonight, a few features. We're going to take the Warriors right here on 680. But what a night of basketball coming up.
Oh, God, yeah. Three game sevens and... Yeah, that Warriors series. There's so many subplots going on there, and completely unique, unprecedented kind of storylines. That's going to be wild. Should be great.
You think the Warriors will win this? I got that tone from
your
column tonight.
Somehow I do. I think. It's hard to explain. It's sort of a bunch of intangibles, but I think the pressure is going to be really on Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul is not healthy. And I think that's going to do them in. And the Warriors they got nothing to lose. They're going in there loose. Curry's going to probably have a good night. And they're playing for Mark Jackson. Who knows? I could be completely wrong. They could get blown out by 40 also. But that's my call. We'll stick with it.
Hey, why not? Look, it's a great doubleheader. Giants baseball and then the Warriors.
God, perfectly timed, too. Yeah.
Good for you. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Marty, you got it.
All right, thank you. As always, always a pleasure. never know where we're going. Completely unscripted when Bruce Jenkins comes on. It's always a lot of fun to talk baseball or any sports with him whatsoever.